You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome to Open for Business, the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. This morning on the show, I'm speaking with William Lee, founder and CEO of EasyBook, an online booking platform for bus tickets and ferry tickets for the most part. Founded in 2006, EasyBook.com started off as a platform that just sold bus tickets in Malaysia and Singapore, but has grown significantly since then, has taken a regional view as well. As per Tech in Asia in 2021. At one point, EasyBook had expanded to 10 countries in Southeast Asia, but had to scale down to its three core markets, Indonesia, Malaysia, and Singapore, due to the pandemic. In 2021, they also raised $5 million from Malaysian boutique investment firm Emissary Capital and utilized these funds to invest in the business, but also to survive the pandemic. Last year, EasyBook said that they wanted to hit a target of $80 million USD in revenue and expand more aggressively in the region while maintaining its profitability, with William expressing his goal to eventually list the company. Today, we dive into those ambitions, but also go back 18 years to the origins of this platform business, how the business has changed as the internet economy grew and the competitive environment evolved, the challenges of being the middleman in this space, and what the future holds for this business. William, welcome to the studio.
Hi, thank you, Roshan, for having me today.
Yeah. William, you've been on this journey for 18 years now, and it sounds like a boring business from the outside in, but as we were talking outside, we started to get a little bit of a sense for how much money there is in this. And you were telling us that revenue-wise, last year you made $60 million or 300 million ringgit. So this is big business and nothing to scoff at. But before we talk about the business side and all of that, going back 18 years, what led you into this? Because this is not something you wake up one day and, you know what, I want to sell bus and ferry tickets. What led you to EasyBook.com?
Okay, good question. Yeah, so basically, about 20 plus years ago, when I'm still a student in Singapore, I studied in NUS, so I'm an ex-ASEAN scholar. So I need to travel back and forth Malaysia and Singapore very frequently in the past. And then there's no online booking for bus ticket. So I need to travel all the way to the bus counter to buy tickets.
So this was 2003, 2004?
That was around even 199 something. It's like, oh, okay, like during my school time.
Wow.
A-level and so on. So that's why that time they don't accept phone reservation, because they say that the tickets are selling fast. First come, first serve.
Wow.
So if you want to buy, please come down. So I had to fight all the way to go down to the bus counters, shops to buy the tickets in Singapore. Then the worst is no more tickets.
Ayo, so you go all the way there and then say, sorry, no tickets anymore.
Yes, especially during the pre-Chinese New Year time. So you need to buy like 2 or 3 months in advance. That time, those Chinese New Year ticket is selling like a hotcake. Yeah, if you don't come, you'll miss out. And then no online reservation. There's no online reservation, no phone reservation. Yeah, so that's why I have to come up with this idea to solve this problem, at least solve my own problems. I extend the solution to the public. Yeah.
So you had your own itch to scratch. You had a problem that you saw that you dealt with on a regular basis, and you wanted to address it. Yeah. That's what led you to building this business?
Yes, correct.
And, you know, EasyBook.com, it's a great URL. How did you get it? Like, I presume that other people would have, you know, you've got so many other businesses out there, and this was during the dot-com era where everyone was probably buying a URL left, right, and center. Yeah. How did you get EasyBook.com? This is not EasyBook.my, you know. It's EasyBook.com.
Yeah. Good question. Very good question. So we started with EasyBook.com.
Okay. So different spelling.
Yes. Then eventually, after like few years, we found that the word of mouth failed.
Because it's not a very radio-friendly name, right? When you say EasyBook, you will go to E-A-S-Y as opposed to S-I.
Yeah. So that time, luckily that time, after 7 or 8 years, we raised a seed fund from a VC from Singapore. Mm-hmm. So that's why I used the extra cash to buy a more proper name.
Ah, right. Okay, so you used what you had first. Yes. You didn't have money to go and pay whoever had that domain at first. Yeah. Once you raise some money, branding and marketing budget, go and spend it, buy that URL.
Yeah. Like, so eventually we bought that esybok.com at 30 plus million euro.
Million euros? Sorry,
30,000 euros.
30 million euros is a lot of money.
Sorry.
30,000 euros, that's around 120, 150,000 ringgit at
that's
that point.
That's why we can only do that after we raise some money.
And this was with OVV Capital, I presume. This was your first round, right?
Yeah, correct.
Now, so you entered this space, specifically the online booking space, because you had your own itch you wanted to scratch.
Yeah.
You were not an entrepreneur before that, right? This was right after university?
I can say so.
You worked for about
1-2 years before I started this company.
All right. So you had this problem. You finished your university as an ASEAN scholar. You went to work.
Yeah.
And then you decided, you know what? I'm going to go address this problem. Why? What happened that made you say, I don't want to do this 9-to-5 anymore. I want to go and build this business to address this problem that I used to have.
Yeah, because this problem still carry on until after my graduation. Mm. Even I start working, I still need to travel back to Penang. So the problem still unsolved. So I need to quickly solve it. So to solve the problem to enable the tickets to be sold online, I need to build a system for the transport company, bus companies to automate their back office operation and the ticketing as well, so that we can open the API to link to our website to sell online.
What was your background, William? What were you studying?
I'm from computer science. Yeah.
Okay, so you have that background. You were like, okay. So was the proposal to the bus companies initially, let me use my skill set to build you a software solution to kind of address this.
Correct.
So it wasn't a platform just yet. It was just helping them automate a lot of this and make it easier.
Yeah. So you can say that. Yeah. Because eventually, we want them to sell online as well, because the purpose is to enable the whole ticketing online. Mm-hmm. So to do that, you need to build a system first. Otherwise, there's no way you can sell online. Impossible. Your ticket sell in the website, you sell one ticket and then you need to call them to book a ticket. It's just crazy. You need to automate the whole process. Yeah.
So when you started the business, the easy with an I.
Yeah.
What was the, was it a software consulting company initially, or was it always a business software company?
Dedicated software for the transport companies.
Okay.
And also for the online.
So it's kind
marketing.
Of B2B at the start.
Yeah. B2B, then B2C. Right. For one. Yeah.
Okay. So it was kind of like a natural transition, but given that you were you doing this part time at the start, or did you give that?
Yes,
did you
part time.
Okay. So you kind of phased into it. You did.
Correct.
You did do you remember the moment that you realized that, okay, this cannot be a part time gig anymore. I need to quit my job and do this full time.
Yep. So after like 3 years, then I moved into full time already.
So you did this part-time for 3 years while managing a 9-to-5 at the same time.
Yeah.
What was it like balancing that your day? What did your days look like when you were doing this? Because I'm pretty sure B2B side, you know, suddenly they may call you at any time of the day. So how did you balance these two things?
So basically, at the beginning, we not many bus companies on our platform. So, and the traffic is not so high.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's still able to like serve the customers, reply the customers in the ad hoc basis.
Okay,
yeah.
So when it became busy, it was at that point where, okay, now this needs to be full-time.
It's still the volume search, and then I have to make it full-time already. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we can't cope.
Was there a particular moment that led to it? Because when I spoke to my guest last week from Wanderlust, she was telling us about how, you know, family was sitting in the living room packing boxes and they sold out product. And then she's like, okay, this is the moment. This is when I realized that we need to, this cannot be a side hustle anymore. Mm. I need to go full time. Do you have a moment like that where you realize, yeah, no, I cannot do this by myself. I cannot do this with a full-time job.
Yeah, definitely. Because that time you need to like, the boss from the company to press you to deliver. And then of course, we still had to do our daily job. Then at night, you need to do programming. And sometimes you need to do sales as well. Mm. Yeah, you need to go out. So that's why, let's say you have a full time job, there's no way you can increase to the next level.
Because your sales job will have to be doing someone else's 9-to-5, which is when you are in the office, which is a bit difficult at that point.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about your experience. You were computer science. You studied that allowed, gave you the skill set to build the infrastructure and the software needed, especially by the bus companies. So started off B2B before the B2C, and you were scratching your own itch. Today, you know, it's not just bus tickets, you've got ferry tickets, you've got other modes of transport as well. You also do ERP systems for some travel companies as well on the back of the B2B business and terminal management systems. Can you give us a sense for the full product mix of EasyBook today?
So basically, there are three main business in EasyBook. The first business is about all the back-end system, we call it ERP system, for bus and ferry companies. There are some train companies using it as well. Then once we automate the business, the operation of the transport companies, and then once we control the tickets, then we can enable it to sell into the B2C side, which is the second part of business. B2C, as you can see that in our website, our app, selling all the ticket, then we earn the commission from every ticket that we sold. So that's the second part of the business. So the third part of the business is we started like 3 years ago during the COVID time. So we started to venture into providing a terminal management solution to upgrade and modernize terminals in Southeast Asia. So far, we have like supplied our system to more than 170 terminals in Indonesia and Malaysia.
Wow. Mm. So you got three main businesses here, the B2B, where you are software solutions for the bus and the ferries and even some train stations.
Yep.
B2C, selling those tickets on your platform.
Correct.
And the new one, which is terminal management business.
Yes.
You made $60 million in revenue last year, or 300 million ringgit, more or less. How does that revenue break down by the products here, by the services?
The majority still come from the B2C side when we sell the tickets. The terminal size, basically, we just earn a tiny terminal fee from every ticket that we sold.
That's the newer business.
Yes. So that we can use the fee to cover the whole system cost in the terminals.
Yeah. And the B2B side, the back-end systems?
We do charge a bit. Almost free.
Okay. Yeah. So the other two is just basically enabling your B2C platform.
Correct.
Because you need them to have the prerequisite software in order to plug into your EasyBook.com.
Yes.
So is B2C, like we're talking about 80% of revenue, or is it less than that?
Yeah, around there.
Around that. So it's the majority of your business.
Yes, the majority, yeah.
William, we'll dive into more of that and the business side of things in a little bit. But first, we've got to go into a few messages. Mm. Folks, I've been speaking with William Lee, founder and CEO of EasyBook.com, an online booking platform for bus and ferry tickets, as well as other modes of transport. I'm Roshan Kennison. You're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bias-free media. BFM. 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kennison, and this morning I'm speaking with William Lee, founder and CEO of EasyBook, an online booking platform. You've been on this journey, as we mentioned earlier, William, 18 years now. And we can break this up into two chapters, really. The first 7 years, which was before you raised your first ever funding round, which is around 3 million, it was from your first investor. Of that, the first 3 years was part-time. And then you got the next 11 years, where you started raising more money and became more aggressive. You started with bus tickets in Malaysia and Singapore, building software for the bus operators in order to be automated and digitalize themselves. You've expanded to other markets and other modes of travel. And even I saw online, you even offer parcel delivery via bus. That's one of the tabs there. Obviously, you had to scale down and survive the pandemic. It's also been part of that journey as well. How much has the business changed since you started in 2006?
Okay. So at the beginning, of course, this business is just like a pet project while working elsewhere. Yeah. So after raising funds, then we have become more serious to grow very aggressively because we need to answer to the investors. Yeah. So that's why after 7 years, we raised the first fund, seed round. Then that time, we raised only about $5,000. Then after another 2-3 years, we raised Series A, another $3 million. Then 2 years ago, then we raised another Series C.
Right. So 500,000 first, then 3 million, and then the 5 million you raised in 2021. And earlier on, like you were saying, it was very B2B software development for the
transport
bus companies.
Yes.
Today, it is mostly a B2C business. Is that the biggest transition, the biggest change in this business?
Actually, at the beginning, we already started the B2C. Mm-hmm. It's just that the volume is not as grand as now, right now. At the beginning, we just touched on the bus company and bus ticket. Mm-hmm. Then after that, after the fundraising, we expanded into ferry ticket and fellow companies to provide the software. Yeah, and then of course for other product like train, car render, a bit, So we just like just list a bit of the product and sell. But the main focus is still on the ferry, bus and ferry. Yeah.
And again, this is your the software development side of things is to enable them to digitalize them so that they can plug into your platform, and thus the bigger part of your business is the B2C. What have been key moments in your entrepreneurial journey? Because this is 18 years you've been doing this, you know. You started in 2006, just after the dot-com crash, before the global financial crisis. You've gone through a pandemic as well. Talk to us about a few key moments from the key successes and the key failures that have defined your journey with EasyBook.
I think when I started this company, I think that time is just after the SARS 2003. So that one, that of course, hard to find job as well. So that's why the time I started the program and so on. So that's what was the turning point. Then, so after fundraising, then we of course, I can say that Singapore-Malaysia market is small. So that's why I ventured into ferry as well, and then train and so on. So we grow from there. Yeah.
And when, so you buses first, then ferries, then trains.
Correct.
When did you first go overseas?
Go overseas, I think about Series A time during the second round of fundraising.
So the $3 million round.
Yeah, the first round just focused on Singapore and Malaysia. When we become more and more so-called bigger, and then start to like venture into Indonesia, Thailand, and so on.
Was Indonesia the first overseas market you went to?
Correct, correct.
And today it's still a core market of yours.
Yeah, it probably would overtake Malaysia.
So of the $60 million USD or the $300 million ringgit you made last year, could you break that down by market? Which markets made the most of that money?
Malaysia is still the number one. Then used to be Singapore used to be number two, but Indonesia just overtook the Singapore in terms of profit.
In terms of profit, in terms of revenue share.
In terms of revenue, maybe Singapore still number two.
Number two.
But Indonesia, we have a lot of terminals that we collect the terminal fee. That those direct contribute to
your margin,
to the gross profit and profit.
Okay, got
so
it.
So the revenue part.
So that the more fees from the collection of your terminal fees in Indonesia, because just pure volume game in that
sense.
Yes,
volume game.
So is Malaysia more than 50% of revenue, or is it more evenly spread out?
Malaysia is a majority for now, I think 50%+. Then followed by Singapore, like 20-30%. Then Indonesia, 10%+.
So still a lot of growth area there for you in Indonesia, because I presume Malaysia and Singapore are very mature markets for you at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. So going back to when you started this out, what did the first version of the platform look like? Because today we take all these platforms for granted today, right? Today we want super app, everything. But we're talking about the early 2000s here. You know, Google was still early. It was still in its infancy. It was before Facebook was born. What did the platform look like or operate like when you first started the B2C part?
Yeah. Of course, at that time, we just have a website. Later, after many years, not only we have the Java Applet app, which is the ancestor of the Android and iPhone app. So we then the time for the website also very clunky. The payment solution also limited. No e-wallet. Purely like credit card and internet banking. In Singapore, there's a Nets or something. So very limited. Option.
Today we've got Shopify and all these different things that can enable us. Back then you had to build it yourself, and friction was a key part of it, right? Now, speaking of friction, you're a platform, which means you're a B2C platform, which means two things. One, you've got to manage the operator side, the supply side, your buses, your ferries, your terminals, and your trains. But you're also a consumer side, right? You have the demand side, your consumers, your users. And one of the first things, and especially in travel, right? You're the middle party here, which means you're going to get hit with the complaints about delays, which happen, right? Especially with buses in Malaysia. And this is one of the key things I noticed when I first looked EasyBook up and looked at some of the reviews. Some of them were not great. You know, some 1-2 stars here and there. I have to say your customer service was very on the ball, going to each and everyone and trying to address their concern. But a key thing that kept coming up was the delays. And that's on the operator side of things. How do you manage that, right? Because this must be such a key part of a key challenge for you, that customer service portion and making sure that your customers at the end of the day happy enough to continue using your business?
Yeah, good question. Basically, people go and review you is when they are feeling
angry.
Not happy,
yeah.
Angry. So you see the best side of the review. Yeah, the good side, people don't really go and review. So that's why actually we have like close to 30,000 to 40,000 tickets sold per day. So
per day.
So that's why the few complaints there is like 0.something% of the whole transaction. Yeah. So even being said that, we still take the review very seriously. That's why I asked my CS team to go and reply every complaints there. But most of the complaints is beyond our control. It's from the bus operator side. So what we can do is we provide a bus review for every in our website, so the customer can look at the bus review before you buy the ticket, so that you won't, if let's say the review is bad and you buy it, maybe it's cheap, then you don't complain.
So there is a star to price ratio like that internally, you can compute, right?
Yes.
But what you're doing is you're trying to just provide the customer as much, and these reviews are done by customers themselves?
By customers themselves.
All right.
Yes.
So you're doing what you can on that part to give them an informed decision. But a review system, I guess, is not uncommon, right? Grab, we do it as well. Riders rate us, we rate them, and that helps with that. But the thing is, with that, we can't choose our riders. At least this one, you can choose your bus ticket or your service provider in that sense. Now, that said, a big part of this equation is going to be the fact that other platforms are in the space as well, right? You've got your Grabs and your AirAsia Moves, right, which are in the travel space. You've got Google Search as well, which is also basically an aggregator. Bookings.com and Airbnb also do similar platforms, although maybe not the same niche you're in.
Yeah.
How do you continue to ensure that you have a space in this world when all these big players may one day step in to kind of chase you out?
Yeah. So basically, our advantage is we are first mover in a so-called expand vertically into our industry. So basically, we are not only selling tickets, we also provide the system to manage all the tickets at the back office. So that's why any like online website, whatever, they want to sell our tickets, they have to go through our API to get our tickets.
Okay.
So we are one of the main so-called source for the tickets.
So you've built a walled garden, essentially, the Apple way of like App Store, and then build a little bit of a wall so you can only use my system in that
sense.
Correct. So you have to continuously expand to maintain that first mover advantage.
Correct.
All right. So we'll talk about expansion in a little bit then. Folks, I've been speaking with William Lee. He's the founder and CEO of EasyBook.com, an online booking platform. The business currently did $60 million in revenue last year, and they've raised around $8.5 million USD to date to fund their expansion. It's been 18 years now, with William taking the business full-time 3 years into the business. I'm Roshan Kandasan. You're listening to Open for Business. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kandasan, and this morning I've been speaking to William Lee, founder and CEO of EasyBook.com, an online booking platform for bus tickets and ferry tickets for the most part. And we've been talking about their 18-year journey. Last year, the company clocked in $60 million in revenue, around 300 million ringgit. And I think the aim this year is $100 million, which we will get to in a little bit. You were talking a little earlier before the news bulletin, William, about your first mover advantage being that competitive advantage for you, because you go out to terminals and operate to terminals to build software for them. That's the third part of the business. You also go to operators and integrate them. So you've got that walled Apple-like walled garden that you're trying to build here, and which I presume comes with some switching costs if they wanted to move to some other player out there. Is that your main competitive advantage against all the other tech players that are seemingly coming into the space?
Yes, definitely. So basically, our solution is like touch on every part of the operation of the transport companies, from the ticketing to data reports, accountings, to the driver management, agent management, to their whole bunch of modules. That's why we call it ERP system. Then we also link up to the terminals, so many different terminals, We do the even the custom side, because look at cross country. Then we also link to like more than 1,500 agents. Mm-hmm. Our agents like Touch and Go, Grab, Shopee. Those are like C-Trip or Europe site, those and different websites. Yeah. So that's why it's a whole ecosystem.
So it's not just enabling them to buy, enabling them to sell tickets online. Mm. You are also doing a lot of the other back-end stuff for them.
Yeah, definitely.
A full-on ERP solution in that
Correct,
sense.
For the transport companies.
Which makes it more difficult to switch out to another player, yes. Which I guess means that continued first-mover advantage is very important for you. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure.
So expansion is going to be a key part for you. What's your main focus for expansion this year?
This year, we still, there are three driving factors for growth for this year. So the first one, of course, we are still rolling out more and more terminals, especially Indonesia side. Mm-hmm. I think Vietnam also coming with a lot of tractions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Vietnam as well. Then, of course, the second driving factor is to convert more and more people from offline to online. Yeah, those that bus traveler, ferry travelers.
Is offline still a big part of the business?
Of course. So different country, different scenario.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Singapore mostly are online. Almost 90% are online, 90%+. Mm. Malaysia, probably half of it. And then for other country, even Sabah, Sarawak, it's like less than 20%.
Wow. Yeah.
So still a lot of people, it's like
manual. Like commerce, right? Mm. There's a lot of it. E-commerce is only about 20% of retail.
Correct.
So you're trying to convert people from offline to online because it's easier. Mm. But that comes with digitalization and more smartphone penetration and internet penetration, I presume.
Yeah.
Any ambitions to go offline to provide, because you're seeing a lot of retailers go omni-channel, right? It's like, yes, we do online also, but we're also going to do brick and mortar. Any ambitions that side?
We already did that, which is our terminals.
Right.
So in the terminals, we centralize the ticketing under one central counters. No more individual counters manned by bus companies or ferry companies.
Oh.
So it's like, look at the example in TBS, Johor, Penang. So it's already like centralized ticketing. Yeah, so we provide that kind of solution. So we capture the offline and then the online as well. So, I mean, we encourage people to go online because you save our manpower cost on the ground. Yeah,
but you're still doing offline. You're still capturing that part of the market as well. Now, the revenue, when I was looking at some of the numbers online, yesterday we know you're at, last year you booked in 300 million ringgit or 60 million US dollars, but it's been a rough few years as well. In the pandemic year, I think it was 10 million USD in 2020. Pre-pandemic was 36 million. So growth has continued if we take a longer term trajectory here. Mm. What's the aim for this year?
This year, we aim the growth on the top line to grow at least 50% to about from 60 million USD to about 110 million USD, maybe more than 50%, I think. Yeah, so then the profit side, we expect it to grow like, hopefully can reach 3x the profit of the last year.
What was profit last year like?
Last year, let's say convert to ringgit is about more than 10 million ringgit. So hopefully this year, it can triple that.
And this year's aim in profit is about 30 million. And this is net income or profit before tax?
Net profit.
Net profit, all right. So you're looking to grow the business on the top line by 50%, grow your profit to about 30 million ringgit. Mm. How are you going to do this, right? What's the strategy to achieve that 100 million this year? Because growing 50% is nothing to scoff at.
Yeah. So basically, in terms of, as I mentioned just now, there are three driving factors: the more terminals signing up and roll out, and then more conversion to online tickets. Then the third one is more ERP system implemented to more bus and ferry companies, especially in Indonesia, Vietnam, and so on, where we secure some really big size transport companies. Could be some of them are even multi-million dollar kind of size. Yeah, so those big companies, when they use our ERP system, immediately there's an income from there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the three main factors that contribute the whole growth. And all these are quite certain because all the contract is in the on the table. Yeah,
I'm guessing the most important part here again is those terminal acquisitions as well as the operator acquisition. Is that right? Because then you can bring the demand side will come, but you need the supply side.
Yep.
You need the terminals. Yeah. How do you sell them? Because B2B, this is a B2B business on this side of the track. It takes a longer sales cycle to kind of close these kind of deals. Obviously, now you're much bigger. What do you have to, how do you incentivize them to join you?
Okay, so basically, very simple. Our solutions are free. And then you have, you have the whole complete robust system to automate every single part of your business. And then I also can increase your sales by distribute into our platform and all our agent network. Mm. And also a smooth connection to all the terminals, custom, all the different third parties like accounting systems and so on. Why not?
Has anyone ever looked at you and said, this is too good to be true? What are the cons here? Because it sounds like you're solving all their problems.
Yes.
What is it they're giving up when they sign up with you then?
Basically, there's no risk for them to try out because our contract is open contract. Mm. They can terminate anytime. And then they just try out. All right. And then no risk.
So then, you're banking on that they go with you long enough that they enjoy the growth in their market, the free software that they're getting, but at some point that switching cost will prevent them from moving. Mm,
yeah.
Okay, so that's on that side of the business. Now, you're building a platform here, and with all platforms, there are different ways that you can monetize the platform. So given that you are an ERP solution, you know, maybe a fintech solution might come into play, or maybe even advertising revenue from your website itself. Have you looked at other monetizing ways to monetize the business, the platform?
Yes. Of course, we do have some peripheral services like attraction ticket, like insurance, even car rental, all these are we consider peripheral services so that the core customers from our platform, they can, like, we can cross buy other products, tag along. Yeah, but we still try to focus more on our core business. Otherwise, a bit too distracted.
Okay, so the focus is still the core business. You're not looking at, you know, ERP transactions to kind of back and partner with a fintech B2B lender, for example.
Yeah, if we can outsource, we'll outsource. Okay. Yeah, for other non-core business. Mm. Yeah.
So growing customer acquisition is still the main way to drive growth going forward.
Yes, for the core business.
This year, the focus is Indonesia and Vietnam?
Yes.
What other, what is, beyond these two, what target markets do you have in mind once you're, what are the target markets? Because I presume Philippines might be a big market as well.
Actually, our software already landed on 10 countries in Southeast Asia, all those 10 countries there. Then, but the online budget for marketing still focus on these 4 or 5 markets, which is Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, a bit on Brunei. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But of course, later when Vietnam will be getting more and more traction, then we will advertise in Vietnam as well.
All right. At what point do you deem it worthy? At what point, at what point do you deem it worthy to invest more in a particular country when you've hit a certain, is there a benchmark that you look at?
Yes. Basically, when we see that we cover enough the bus company or ferry companies, I mean the product, once we hit certain volume or network effect, then we will start to pour money into the marketing. Yeah.
So once you hit a certain threshold in terms of the tickets that you're selling or the operators that you're covering?
Operators.
Okay. Yeah. So you've hit most of the market.
Terminal as well.
Okay. Mm. So then it's basically you feel like then you've got product market fit in that that market
correct.
It's worth to kind of scale it up from there.
Yeah.
Understood.
Make sure the supply side are stable and abundance before you spend money on the consumer side.
Yeah. So to make sure that there's traction enough to justify spending money to grow in that market.
Correct.
Because not, you know, everyone likes to look at Southeast Asia as this one big market, but it really isn't.
It's very fragmented.
It's very fragmented. You know, and Indonesia itself is a huge market and very fragmented. So actually a lot of work doing in there itself.
Correct.
Given your regional perspective, could you maybe tell us a little bit of some of the differences that you've seen from between Malaysia and the other countries in the region in terms of what you've had to do to penetrate?
Many things different. From legal to taxes to HR policy to accounting standard.
What about from the consumer behavior, right? So if buses are the main thing in Malaysia, what about Indonesia?
Indonesia, ferry could be larger than bus. Yeah. Mm. Then Indochina bus is still the main one.
Okay.
But except Philippines and Indonesia, ferry are more.
Oh, interesting. But I guess there are more waterways there, bigger, much bigger countries as well. But
these two are archipelagos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot more water traveling needed to get from one place to another, unless you've got really long bridges. How profitable is the business? So we were talking about the profitability earlier. 10 million ringgit last year out of 300 million ringgit in revenue. This year, you're aiming for 30 million ringgit in revenue, in profit, out of what's 100 million times five. So about 500 half a billion in revenue.
Yeah.
That's quite a thin net margin on the... What do you see as key ways to expand your margins going forward?
Yeah, so basically... when our terminals are getting more and more terminal fee, then the margin will automatically increase. Yeah, and of course, we also do cross-sell other services like insurance, refund protection, different kind of services. You add on to the basket before they make payment. So that will increase the margin.
Right. So those products, pure margin products in a lot of ways. And then you've got your other ancillary products. So it's adding other services on top.
Yeah.
What are your highest margin products today?
Still the ticket. The core ticket is a main one. Then the rest are all the nitty-gritty.
But you don't make the full face value of the ticket, correct? So the platform, you got a platform fee for each ticket sold?
No. We sell most of our tickets are selling at the same price as the counter.
Okay.
Yeah.
How is revenue generated? That's what I meant to ask.
Every ticket that we sold, we have a commission.
Is it a percentage or a standard fee?
Depends on the companies that they've given us. Yeah.
So the different negotiations at play.
Yeah, correct.
So that's how you make money from the tickets. Then you have a terminal fee as well.
If let's say depart from our terminal, then we collect the terminal fee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the two main revenue generators?
Yeah, so far.
Mm. All right. And you've raised, I think, 8.5 million ringgit in your journey so far. William, we'll talk more about plans ahead after this, as well as your plans for an IPO, if they're on the cards and when. Folks, I've been speaking with William Lee, founder and CEO of EasyBook, an online booking platform. I'm Roshan Gunnison. You're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit. So keep it here to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Balanced Frank Medium. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Gunnison, and this morning I'm speaking with William Lee, founder and CEO of EasyBook.com, an online booking platform. 18 years ago, it began and it started with selling bus tickets in Singapore and Malaysia. Today, they sell bus and ferry tickets, or at least enable the sale of bus and ferry tickets across the region, with its three main markets being Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia. Last year, the business made $60 million in revenue. That's 300 million ringgit. And profitability was at about 10 million ringgit in profit last year, with aims to take it to 30 million ringgit in profit this year on the back of about half a billion ringgit in revenue. As per private market data platform Traction, EasyBook has raised a total of $8.5 million from two investors mainly. Your first funding round was in March 2014, based on this data, and the latest funding round was a Series C round in July 2021. That was about $5 million. Is that data accurate, first and foremost, William? And what is the extent of the funding you've raised so far?
Yeah, the data are correct. Yeah.
So your first funding round was 2014?
Yes.
And that was the $500,000 round. So it's $500,000, $3 million,
$2 million,
and then $5 million.
Yeah.
At each phase of that, so obviously the first two parts, that $500,000 was to continue to build the platform. When OWW came in with that $3 million round, what was the priority then in 20? When did they come in, and what was the priority with that funding?
So the funding basically is to increase the manpower, to make it more proper, the company.
Okay.
Yeah, to make the company more professional in terms of manpower, all this. Then after that, also start expanding, then we need more funding to go overseas, more products, and so on.
Right. So build your talent up.
Yes.
And build your technology, professionalize the business, because this was still very early. Although you did start in 2006, you only took this full time in 2009. So this was about 7 years in your journey. From what I understand, OWW then later exited to Emissary Capital, who came in with $5 million in funding in 2021. I presume some of that funding was to help you survive the pandemic as well. But what else was that funding used for? What has that funding round been vital for in your growth?
Yeah, so that funding prevent us from continue to lay off further in the during pandemic time. Because the last round Series C we raised in 2021, during the time the pandemic, we slashed our manpower from almost 200-300 down to like 100 plus.
Wow.
So in order to continue to stop layoff, then we need to raise fund. Of course, during that time, raise fund is very difficult. Luckily, this Emissary Capital, they got the fund from Panjana Capital, from MOF, to help the startup to pull through the COVID
period. This was through Panjana.
Yeah, that's why we're lucky to get some assistance from Panjana.
What's manpower like today?
The manpower today, we already increased to 500.
Wow. So you went from 300 to 100 and now you're back to 500.
Correct.
What's the spread of the manpower? Is it mostly in Malaysia or overseas?
Mostly in Malaysia and Indonesia.
Okay.
Yeah, because Indonesia side, mostly those are terminal staff that they're running around.
So terminal staff are your people?
Yes.
Is customer service a big part of your manpower as well?
In HQ in Malaysia, yes. Mm-hmm. So our HQ is in Malaysia. So basically all the marketing people, finance, everyone.
So you've raised $8.5 million to grow this business to survive the pandemic, but you're still, in order to keep your first mover advantage, you need to keep growing, expanding your market presence. Yeah. Are you looking to raise more funding going forward to continue this expansion?
Yep. So basically this year, hopefully we can close within these few months the last round, we call it last round of funding.
Series D.
Yeah, around there. Hopefully last round already. Then we after that, we see which market for IPO.
What are you aiming for your so-called last round? How much are you looking to raise?
This round we try to raise more than 10. And we still depends on the investor side. Some that have minimum check size that I have to get more.
I mean, given that you're a profitable business that's growing, I'm sure there are plenty of VCs that are looking, or plenty of investors that are looking at you, or at least considering you, because profitability is a very key metric today.
Yeah.
Are you looking at, I'm assuming that new investors are coming on board as well, not just older investors who are re-upping?
Yeah, there were more investors coming on board. Yeah.
All right. So after this, you raise this money. This year, so your Series D is going to be your final round of private market funding.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be IPO.
Yeah, hopefully.
What is the pathway to realizing that goal to IPO this company?
So basically, we need to beef up our compliance of the company. So in terms of all the automation on the reports, everything, to make it compliance. Then hopefully we can finish doing this by this year. Then probably next year or the year after, we can aim for certain market to try to list there.
How are you deciding which market you're going to list in?
Of course, we look at where our business is relevant. Then the valuation, the liquidity is all the few factors that we considering before. I mean, our investor and me are all considering.
Malaysia in contention for the IPO?
Yes, of course.
How likely is it that Malaysia will be the destination for your IPO?
By looking at our HQ operation all in Malaysia, and Malaysia now, so far is number one market. Soon, I don't know, it'll be overtaken by my other country maybe. Then we're still exploring which way have give us the best proposal, and then we will decide from there.
Where you get the best deal, the best valuation.
Yeah.
What market signals are you watching for out there? Because, you know, everyone is kind of paying attention to the market sentiment, because that's really what's going to determine valuation. And today, everyone's kind of paying attention to AI. Market is kind of corrected now that, you know, there are concerns over that no Fed cuts. What are you watching in the market?
Actually, I don't really care. I just try to make my business perform optimal level. Then for all this IPO, because we look at IPO is just a beginning. So we want to look at like 20 years, 50 mm-hmm. years down the road, or even 100 years down the road. So the graph is going to stretch out very long, and then no matter what's the starting point, it still will grow very high.
Yeah, so the IPO is just, again, IPO is just another capital fundraising move in the day, right? You're going there to raise public market funds.
And or maybe it's, for my investor to exit.
Obviously, part of that is for them to exit.
Correct,
raise some capital there, but it's a new journey, right? It's a new chapter. It's a much more highly scrutinized environment as well.
That's why we need to prep ourselves to comply everything.
Yeah. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the public markets, analyst calls,
very fortunate I have a very capable CFO to tidy up all this.
All right, William. I look forward to seeing where you eventually IPO and then have you back in the studio, of course, to kind of talk about that trajectory to that. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure learning about your journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me in today.
Folks, I've been speaking with William Lee, founder and CEO of EasyBook.com, an online booking platform that's looking to IPO soon enough. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on the BFM app. You can also find our shows on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast players. Just look for Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kanasen. We're going into the news bulletin, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.